Welcome to the 12th letter in the 19 letters series, and we have been following Rav Hirsch's methodology of dividing the mitzvos up into six categories. And in letter number 11, we discussed Toros, Mishpatim, and Chukim, the first three categories, and we explained that these are the first requirements for people to have. These are very basic mitzvos. And as we move on now into letter number 12, we're going to discuss the category which is called mitzvos. And Rabbi Elias, in his introduction, explains that mitzvos are designed to develop in a person the spirit of blessing so that he will then give to others and the community in that spirit. So mitzvos is the second requirement, and it's divided into two categories. And Rabbi Elias, on page 176, in footnote number 1, he writes, "It is also noteworthy that Rav Hirsch divides the category of mitzvos into two groups, preparing oneself to be a blessing to others through efforts at self-perfection, and bestowing blessings upon others in one's home and in the community at large." So as we have been doing for each one of these categories so far, let us see in the introduction to Chorev how Diane Grunfeld understands this category called mitzvos. And we're going to start off by giving a quick summary of the three categories of mitzvos that we have discussed until now. In his 19 letters, Rav Hirsch pointed out, in connection with Toros, that as far as a man is concerned, these general religious truths find their ultimate value only if they are realized in man's active life on earth. The first prerequisite for a godly life, Rav Hirsch considered to be justice, which he took as the underlying principle of both Chukim and Mishpatim. The second quality is love, which is the basis of that category of laws which Rav Hirsch groups around the term mitzvos. He therefore defined them, meaning mitzvos, as precepts of love towards all beings, independent of any legal claim on their part, but merely because of the bidding of God and in consideration of our calling as Mensch Yisrael. The mitzvos are just those commandments which are most intimately connected with what theologians call imitatio Dei, and I hope I said it right, the emulation by man of God's qualities of love and mercy. And I believe the first word is like imitation, and Dei as from deity, like God. But that's just a guess. Indeed, the scriptural verse, which is the source of this conception, contains the very term mitzvos. After the Lord your God, you shall walk, and him you shall fear, and his mitzvos shall you keep, and to his voice you shall listen, and him you shall serve, and to him you shall cleave. So again, our understanding of this category, called mitzvos, are the precepts of love towards all being, not because they're deserving of it, but just because of our position, because God wants us to do it, and because we're Mensch Yisrael. In the Chorev, the mitzvos are called commandments of love, and the heading of the first chapter dealing with them reads, and this is in chapter 72 in Chorev, to strive through love to draw near to God. It is also characteristic that Rav Hirsch quotes at the beginning of this chapter the scriptural verses which contain the 13 attributes of divine love and mercy. Mitzvos shows you how through love translated into action, you can raise yourself above the level of creation to God. For love is the activity which seeks unasked the welfare and benefit of others. And this comes from paragraph 480 in Chorev. It does not matter whether others have a claim on our love or even deserve it. For does God ask whether we deserve his love? As God is merciful, so you also be merciful. As he is gracious, so you also be gracious. As he is long-suffering, so you also show yourself long-suffering. As an example which should constantly spur you on to further progress, he, God, set before you not a human being, not even the most godlike, meaning that the mitzvos are never based on a specific person. We never look at Avraham Avinu and be like, aha, we know this mitzvah because Avraham Avinu commanded it. We never look at Moshe and say that we do this mitzvah specifically because Moshe Rabbeinu commanded it. We believe that every single one of the 613 we know directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. He set before you not a human being, not even the most godlike, since such a one can never be of perfect stature, can never transcend the limitations of space and time, and with his death, he ceases to be a living example. He set himself before you as a model and said, follow after me in love. Right? Hashem wants us to follow him, not to follow any specific individual. However, the Torah does not allow love to evaporate into sentimentalism. It is law which must remain the basis even of love. While love is supreme, the way to love leads only through justice. Let no one take credit to himself for love who could be reproached with injustice. So let us begin. Mitzvos. The second requirement of life, which gives it completeness, is love. Not only must you not bring harm upon yourself and your surroundings, but you must seek to become a blessing to yourself and to those around you by emulating God, who does all his deeds in love. And Rav Hirsch here quotes three psukim, all three from Devarim. The Torah tells us that Hashem will establish us to be a holy people to him, but only conditionally if we keep his commandments. And again, the Torah says that we should follow Hashem, we should fear Hashem, keep his commandments, and we should serve him alone, and also that we should not have or follow after other gods. So the question is, I guess, what exactly do these psukim do? Since we know that Hashem does all of his actions out of love, this is a given, we've discussed this many times, we must be a blessing to ourselves by emulating Hashem, and we must therefore imitate God, as these three psukim show us, in order to be a blessing for ourselves and therefore to other people as well. We see that Hashem wants us to do the best things for ourselves, and if we are doing that, then Hashem will bless us. And this could only be if we follow his ways. And Rabbi Elias points out in note 1 that Rav Hirsch mentions the need to copy Hashem by emulating God, since we must do good deeds for others for one reason alone, which is this specific emulation, meaning that we assist just because Hashem told us to do so. And the exact quote that we said before was, to your fellow man who has no legal claim to your help. Become a blessing to yourself so that you will be able to be a blessing to others. First, equip yourself with all possible capabilities and resources, garner goodness and nobility, and then give yourself to the world around you, serving God by bestowing your blessings upon it. To ready yourself for such a blessed labor, begin by revering your parents, as they are the emissaries of God, mankind, and Yisrael to you. It is in their behalf that your parents receive you into the divine covenant. The Torah tells us we have to honor our parents, that we should have, will have long life if we do so. And the Torah repeats that twice, once in Shemos, once in Devarim. The Torah also says in Devarim that anyone who dishonors his parents will be cursed. And then again, we know the Torah tells us this by Shabbos. It says, Ishimo v'aviv tiro, and by the way, Ves Shabbos osai tishmoru, which teaches us that Shabbos takes precedence, but we see what a high level the Torah places Kibbutz Avim on. Revering wisdom, age, and virtue, let them serve as models for you wherever you encounter them embodied in a person's character. So the Torah tells us we should stand up. You should stand up before an elderly person and our chachamim as well. Seeking enlightenment through the Torah's wise teachings about life. So the Torah tells us we should learn the mitzvos to do them. Ulmadtem osam ushmartem la'asosam. And when the Bnei Yisrael are getting ready to go into the land, Moshe tells them that, look, Hashem has taught us chukim u'mishpatim, that you should be performing as you possess the land. And the Torah continues, Ushmar tema va'asisem. You should observe them. Kihi chachmaschem uvinaschem le'enei ha'amim. And the Torah goes on to say how the nations look at us and they say that this is a wise and understanding nation. Furthermore, as we say in Shema, v'hoyu ha'divarim ho'ila asher anochi mitzavecha hayom al levavecha. These words that I have commanded you should be upon your heart. And not only for you, but you have to teach them. V'shinantam levanecha. You have to teach them to your children. V'dibartam amim. And you have to speak about them. And the Torah tells us we have to do this in our waking hours and in our sleeping hours, meaning in the morning and at night, meaning all the time. And the Torah further tells us that these commandments are not too difficult for you. So unlike the Christians that tell us you cannot possibly keep the Torah explicitly says the opposite of that. Ki ha-mitzvah ha-zos ha-sharnuchi mitzavecha hayom lo niflesi mimecha. It's not too hard for you. V'lo rechokahi. It's not far off. Lo vashemayim hi. It's not in the heavens. That a person should say, well, who's going to go up to the heaven and bring it down to us, and it's not across the sea, no one has to travel to get it for us. Ki karov elacha hadavar me'od, b'ficha uvelvavcha la'asoso. It's very near to you. The Torah is written in a way where it should be not easy for us to do it, but we should all be capable of doing it on each on our own level. So that takes care of seeking enlightenment through the Torah, of teaching ourselves and learning. And as Rav Hirsch so often stresses, not just learning for the sake of learning, but wise teachings about life, specifically about living. Continuing, fleeing the example of evil and attaching yourself to the good, thereby to become good yourself. The Torah tells us that we should follow Hashem, and we should fear Hashem and listen to His commandments. We shall cleave to Hashem, and we should run away from those that prophesy falsely, or that have false dreams, and they pervert our understanding of Hashem and what Hashem wants for us. And the Torah tells us, you should remove this evil from among you. And the Torah continues that if someone should come and try to seduce you to go and serve other gods that we have no knowledge of, the Torah is very clear that we shouldn't listen to them, and we shouldn't even have pity on them. But actually, a person like this is culpable to the death penalty. And the Torah ends off the section by saying, V'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yiraun. Everyone will hear this and they'll fear it. V'lo yosifu la'asos kadavar hara hazeh bikirbacha. We have to stay so far away from these examples of evil and distancing ourselves from it, and thereby causing ourselves, working on ourselves, to become good as well. Constantly endeavoring to perfect your inner self and to elevate yourself through devotion and rededication to God and to the fulfillment of your calling. So this refers to doing teshuvah and to working upon oneself. So let's see some of these psukim. The Torah tells us we should circumcise our hearts, and we shouldn't be so stiff-necked, which is one of the reasons why we were chosen as a nation in the first place. It's both our positive and negative trait that we're stiff-necked people, the Torah calls us. V'arpechem lo sak shu'od. You should not keep your neck stiff anymore. So on the one hand, we're very loyal. On the other hand, we become loyal to things that we should not be loyal to. And the Torah tells us that there will be a day when you will be scattered over the entire earth. Then the Torah tells us that Hashem will bring us back and return us, but only if we seek Hashem with all our heart and with all our soul. We are told to be like Hashem in that He is holy. We should be holy as well. And we should not defile ourselves with any of the shrotzim, any of the creepy, crawly things that move on the earth. The Torah tells us anyone who follows any of these witchcraft, incantation type things of ovos and yidonim, anyone who follows these things, they will be cut off. You are a holy people. You should sanctify yourselves. Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, because I, Hashem, am your God, and therefore you should not be seeking these other things. The Torah tells us that after we are thrown into exile, that the leftovers, those that are remaining, v'hanisharim b'chem, that we will be scattered about, v'hisvadu es avonam, that we will confess our sins and the sins of our fathers from all these acts and treachery that we've committed against Hashem. Rav Hirsch also quotes the first two psukim from the beginning of Parshas Acharimus, which introduces the whole Avoda of Yom Kippur, which is obviously dealing with Teshuvah. I assume that's why we're quoting it here. And finally, anyone that commits Mi'ilah, they should confess their sin, and they should add a fifth to it, and this will help to atone for what he's done wrong. Continuing, striving to make the earth a fit home for man, and all its contents fit for human possession, so that, in addition to your spiritual resources, you may also acquire these material possessions as tools that will enable you to carry out your mission of bringing blessing to others and to establish your own home as a sanctuary where children can be taught to become Mensch Yisrael. And in this spirit, and for this kind of home, choosing a wife and bringing her into your home. The Torah tells us that we need to reproduce the species. The Torah tells us that all of the halachos of marriage and divorce. The Torah warns us that if a man divorces his wife and she marries someone else, the original husband may not take her back again. And the Torah sharply calls us an abomination. It says, Ki so'eva hi lifnei Hashem. The Torah tells us the halachos of Yevama and Chalitza, called the Levirate marriage. And the purpose here is to have the brother's name continue. The Torah tells us, V'hoyah ha-bechor asher tiled yakum al shem achiv hames, v'lo yimachesh shemo miYisrael, that his name of the brother who died should not become blotted out, removed from Yisrael. This is practically today, of course. Only Chalitza is done. The Yibum ceremony is not done anymore. And the Torah warns us as well not to marry into other nations. Jews are only allowed to marry Jews, and the Torah in Devarim is very clear on why that is. Ki yasir es bincha me'acharai, v'avdu Elohim acherim, v'chara af Hashem b'achem, v'hishmidecha maher. Because if you end up marrying into the other nations, then you're going to end up serving their gods, and you're going to end up following all of their ways, and what will happen? Hashem will destroy you quickly, v'hishmidecha maher. So all of these mitzvos that we've so far mentioned all deal with yourself. This is how you yourself become ready for the second part of the mitzvah, which is bestowing blessings upon others. So continuing, now for the loving bestowal of blessings upon others. Here your first task, and the most consummate one, is the education of your children to become Mensch Yisrael, by the sacrifice of your entire self, by becoming everything to them, even though they cannot rightly demand this, in order to raise them, and in order for you to live on in them. So in terms of education, the Torah tells us, Torah tziva lanu Moshe, Morasha kihilas Yaakov, that Moshe commanded the law to us, and it is an inheritance to the entire congregation of Yaakov. The Torah warns us that we should be exceedingly careful, or else we will forget the things that we saw. Asher ra'u einecha, ufen yasuru milevavecha, and it'll become removed from your hearts. If you don't constantly tell over our story and what we're supposed to be doing, v'hodatam levanecha v'livnei vanecha, and what is this? This is the day that you stood before Hashem at Har Sinai at Chorev. As it says, Yom asher amadta lifnei Hashem lokecha b'chorev. And Hashem told them there that they have to fear Hashem for all the days that they live upon the earth. And the pasuk ends off, Ve'es b'nehem ilam midun, and you should teach this to your children. The Torah tells us in Shema, V'hoyu ha'divarim ho'ila, asher anochi mitzavecha hayom al levavecha, v'shinantam levanecha, that these words that I command you should be on your heart, and you should Vishinantam levanacha, teach them to your sons. And the lashon of vishinantan is actually in a sharp way. You should, for shanin is to be sharp. You should diligently teach them. You should sharply teach it to your children. And that we should be speaking about our commandments and our history. Vidibartabam. And when should we do this? Vishivtecha beveisacho, velechtecha vaderach, uveshachlecha v'kumecha. In other words, all the time. And in the second part of Shema, in Vahaya im Shamoa, we have a very similar pasuk that tells us that you should teach these mitzvos to your children. You should talk about them when you're in your house and when you're on your way and when you're lying down and when you're getting up, etc. So that takes care of your home. So continuing, the task of bestowing blessings in love, however, extends beyond the boundaries of your home. You are to assist with all your strength wherever there is a need, to save a person's life, property, or happiness, to help suffering animals, to promote the endeavors of your fellow man by using your capabilities and possessions. And I'm going to just stop here and go through some of the psukim. So in terms of saving a person's life, property, or happiness, the Torah tells us that there should be no rachil, no talebearers among your people. And in the same pasuk, the Torah tells us, lo sa'amod al dam re'acha. And this tells us that if one's life is in danger, that you have to do everything you can to help protect that person's life. The Torah warns witnesses that they shouldn't lie. And specifically, we're referring here to Vayikra Hey, Pasuk Aleph. And what we're dealing here is with a witness who swears that he has no knowledge of a case, and then afterwards he admits that he lied. The Torah tells us that if you see someone's livestock wandering away, that you should return them to the person who they belong to. So again, we said that a person is commanded to help animals that are suffering, and the Torah tells us that if you see your enemy and his donkey has a burden on it, the Torah tells us, Azov ta'azov imo, you should surely go and help him to unload his animal. The next category we were discussing was to promote the endeavors of your fellow man by using your capabilities and possessions. So the Torah tells us, if you see your friend's donkey or ox fallen on the road, you should help him pick them up. The Torah warns us against taking interest from any Jew. And the exact lashon of the pasuk is, Lanochri sashich ulachicha lo sashich. The Torah tells us that when you're taking a mashkon, a collateral, that you cannot take something that the person uses for his work. And what the Torah discusses here is, Lo yachavol rechaim varachev. You should not take the millstone that the person uses for his daily living. Ki nefesh hu chovel. Because this is part of his livelihood. This is what he needs. And presumably that extends beyond the exact words of the pasuk. The Torah tells us in Devarim Yud Gimel that we should set up courts, and that when judgments arise, no matter what it's between, it's bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein nega lenega, but whatever it is that you are adjudicating, you should go and you should bring it to the courts. The Torah warns us we should follow exactly what the judges tell us to do. Al pi haTorah asher yorucha, v'al hamishpat asher yomiru lecha ta'aseh, lo sasur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smal. You should not turn away from what they told you to the left or to the right. You should do exactly what the judges tell you to do. The Torah warns us when you lend money to a person who's poor, you should not oppress him to return the money to you. And you can't charge him interest either. Of course, it doesn't mean you cannot collect the money, but it has to be done in exactly the way the Torah tells you that you can collect the money. You can't just go and oppress him and push him for the money, especially if you know that he doesn't have it. So again, we are discussing mitzvos that involve assisting others, so continuing, to use your property, your mental resources, and your power of speech in any possible way to help the poor, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, console the despondent, heal the sick, provide for the neglected, advise those in need of counsel, teach the ignorant, make peace between adversaries, in short, to become a blessing by any and all means and whenever the opportunity arises. After describing the brachos that we will get if we use our possessions properly, the Torah says that Hashem will establish you as a holy people for himself, like he swore to you, if you keep his commandments, v'halachta bidrachav, and walk in his ways. The Torah tells us if there will be a poor person among you, then you should not harden your heart against him, but rather you should do the opposite. You should open your hand to him, and you shall v'ha'avet ta'avitenu de'machsoro asher yachsar lo. You should basically provide him with what he needs. The Torah tells us, actually the Torah says this a few times, V'asisa hayashar v'hatov be'enei Hashem. You shall do what is right and good in the eyes of Hashem. And the Torah continues to tell us that things will go well with you and that you should possess the land. And this V'asisa hayashar v'hatov is like an all-encapsulating type of mitzvah that we always are supposed to do what's good and right. The Torah doesn't delineate every single case in the world, but rather sometimes we have to use our judgment and do what we know is the correct and right thing. The Torah tells us that even those who we would have a reason to hate, we should not. And the Torah specifically says this by the Edomim and the Mitzrim. Lo sisa'iv Adomi ki achichahu, lo sisa'iv Mitzri ki ger ha'yisa ve'artso. The Torah tells us that we are not allowed to hate anyone in our heart, but rather, if you have something against someone, hocheach tochiach es amisacha, you should rebuke your neighbor, you should let him know, and you should not bear anything against him in your heart. And the Torah continues in the next pasuk, lo sikom velo sitor es b'nei amecha, you shouldn't do nekama, you shouldn't take revenge, and you shouldn't bear a grudge against your brethren, but rather v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, you should love your neighbor's welfare as though it were your own. And this is Rav Hirsch's translation of the pasuk, and you can look it up in Vayikra Yud Tes, pasuk Yud Ches, to see his explanation of it. And again, the Torah warns us repeatedly in many places that a ger has to be treated specifically well. And we don't make any distinctions between the way we treat someone who was born a Jew or someone who converted to Judaism. Ke'ezrach mikem yiyah lachem, hager hagar itichem. We treat him the same way. And why is that? Ki gerim heyisem be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you know what it is to be a stranger in a strange land. Moreover, you not only have to fulfill these tasks and benefit others directly, but also have to preserve the source that provides you and all others, contemporaries as well as posterity, with enlightenment and strength for such actions. You must preserve the Torah. So how do we do that? The Torah tells us that we must write a Torah. For sure men, maybe even women, are chayev to write their own Sefer Torah. And presumably in this, Rav Hirsch is counting any other way that includes preserving the Torah besides actually writing the Torah itself. Also, you must join forces with the community. On the one hand, the local congregation, and on the other hand, the state that takes you in and protects you. For only in this way can your actions have all-encompassing and lasting results. So on the one hand, we need to join in with the local community, and Rav Hirsch quotes the pasuk that tells us that from the community, you must choose judges, and you should place them over thousands and hundreds and fifties, etc. And in terms of joining with the country that you live in, so here, Rav Hirsch turns to Yirmiyah. This comes from Yirmiyah Chavtes, Psukim Dalad through Tes. And Yirmiyah tells us here, in the name of Hashem, that we are commanded to build houses, to live in these houses, to plant gardens, and to eat from these gardens. We're commanded that we should not give up, or rather we should get married and have families, and you should make sure that your children get married as well. In other words, va'al timatu, we should not become diminished. And v'yirdirshu es shalom ha'ir, we have to seek the peace of the city where we live, and we should daven to Hashem from those cities, because through the peace of the city, you yourself will have peace. Thus, you are to strive to sanctify God's name by your entire way of life, within your closest circle, as well as your wider domain, in each and every way that you can. Thereby, you will provide an enduring reminder of, and bear testimony to, God's rule and the mission of mankind. Your example will enlighten and inspire your brethren within the people of Yisrael, and above all your non-Jewish brethren, and will teach them to venerate and love the one and only God as their God too, with all their heart and all their soul and all their resources, and to live a life of justice and love according to His will. So our example is what teaches the entire world to act this way. And notice her first points out that it's above all to your non-Jewish brethren that this example goes out to. In other words, you in your limited circle as an individual can fulfill the very task that on a larger scale constitutes the mission of your entire nation. So before I make some comments, let's see the psukim. The Torah tells us that we have to do Kiddush Hashem, v'lo sichalelu es shem kodshi, but rather, v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. We should make Hashem's name Kodesh among the b'nei Yisrael. Ani Hashem mikadishchem, I am Hashem who makes you holy. And the next pasuk says, Hamutziaschem eretz Mitzrayim lihios lachem leilukim, that I am the one who brought you out of Mitzrayim. So I would just posit, I didn't look this up, so I'm not sure, but the first pasuk that says v'lo sichalelu, and it says specifically v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that might refer to our commandment to inspire our brethren, as Rav Hirsch puts it, and the next pasuk of Hamutziaschem eretz Mitzrayim, perhaps refers to our command, above all, that we should inspire our non-Jewish brethren. Rav Hirsch, in this letter, he briefly points out the role that the Kehillah plays for the individual vis-a-vis the community, and the community vis-a-vis the individual. And we have a chiyuv, we have an obligation to our host lands while we're in Galus, and at the same time we have to realize that we are not isolated, but we are members of a larger Jewish community. And this is represented by the Kehillah. And if you'd like to see more on this, see note number 2 in Rabbi Elias's notes. And this ends letter number 12.